1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Got Big Nick Cohen's in the house, someplace over there, right? And we are on our way out of here for the Memorial Weekend. We're going to be working Monday, by the way. We will be here live on the air for Memorial Day. So don't fear, although most of you guys won't be listening. We'll be here. So thanks so very much for appreciating the fact that we'll be here Monday while you won't be listening. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Art Griego is a commercial pilot, although he owns his own Cessna. You're not a commercial pilot, Art, in the sense that you fly big commercial jetliners, right?
No, Phil, I've never done that. I'm really not a commercial pilot. I do fly business groups of three people, and sometimes I'll transport people around the Los Angeles area.
You fly out of where?
I fly out of Santa Monica Airport, and generally I'm flying groups of three. My Cessna seats four, so I'll bring three business people or couples or what have you up to Santa Barbara.
And what's a typical trip for you?
Flying up to Santa Barbara, fly out to the desert, Palm Springs, fly down to San Diego, fly out to perhaps Palomar, up the coast a ways, and basically just sort of transport people around for vacations, weekends, things like that. But I did, I was following the hijacking very, very carefully.
What Art is talking about, the Philippines airliner that was hijacked, and this guy hijacked the thing, and it was bizarre. This dude parachuted out, Art?
Yeah. Apparently he jumped with a parachute, and you know, the parachute didn't open, or he got separated. I can tell you something. I was in the United States Army. You get separated from your parachute, and when you finally hit the ground, there isn't much left. All they basically find are clothes.
You know, what do you mean?
I mean, there's not much left of you.
Because you're hitting the...
Yeah, you're going at such a rate of speed that literally your body vaporizes. We did a jump outside of Fort Worth, or actually this was outside of Lake Elstor, California, when I was in the service. And this guy's chute did not open. And when they found him, there was only a pair of shoes and his helmet.
So the guy's chute didn't open, and the only thing they found were shoes and a helmet?
That's it. And his and his pants, but no body. Because what happens, Phil, at that speed...
No body?
No. What happens, Phil, at that speed, the body vaporizes. As soon as it hits, it turns to dust. So they found a pair of pants with a little mound of dust in it.
Well, tell me about this hijacking the Philippines. Well, not really that so much as, you know, hijackings in general and how commercial pilots deal with these things.
Well, Phil, I think that commercial pilots, first off, I don't know, having never been a jet pilot, because I like to fly for a living. I am not a commercial pilot because I want to fly, and those guys, you know, they let a computer take over. I like flying. I enjoy flying. I think these hijackings can be prevented, but I think the first thing that you have to do as a pilot is you look your passengers in the eye, and I look at each passenger, and I think commercial pilots ought to do this as well, and should look them right in the eye, and basically what you're telling them is, you know, you want a piece of me, you know, you're going to be climbing a mountain.
And so looking them in the eye, how? How does he do that?
Well, you know when you're getting on the plane and the pilot is standing there?
Yeah.
I think every pilot ought to stand there with his arms against the door, kind of his elbows raised up as he's resting against the door, watching people come in, make eye contact with every one of them. And the eye contact is to say, if you even think about messing with this flight, I will have absolutely no problem in erasing all memory of you from this world. Now, I fly business people, groups of three, even in that situation, you say it to them, you want a piece of me? Have at it, because I would rather drive this thing into an elevator, into a mountain, than give you what you want. And I think that commercial pilots should do that, Phil.
Yeah, but you're talking, Art, about a guy that's flying people.
Yeah, well, you know what a lot of these guys do? They like to get on the PA, they get on the, and they fool around. This is your captain, and we're going to fly at 14,000 feet. It's a whole lot of crap. What they need to do is get on there and tell the people, I'm not going to fool around with the microphone and talk about, hey, look at the starboard side of that beautiful, you know, mountain and the baseball scores. I take my flying seriously, and I would get on that PA and say that people, if you even think about messing with the welfare and safety of this aircraft, I will fly this thing straight into the ocean. and I will fly this thing straight, and I will not pull up on the yoke. And I guarantee you, you will lose your lunch. And I will tell you something else, that if you think you're going to trifle with this aircraft, that I will put this thing into a downward spiral, and I will not pull it out. And
what does that do? I mean, you're warning hijackers that you're not going to, that they can't mess with you.
That's right.
What does that do to the other passengers?
Phil, I'll tell you what it does. It gives the other passengers the sense that they are well protected. And it,
yeah, but you're talking to them. You're getting on the PA and saying, "Hey, people, I just want you to know, if you even think about screwing with this aircraft,
right,
then I'm going to put this thing into a nose down dive, and I won't pull it out."
That's right.
I'll fly it into a mountain.
That's right. And the other passengers are thinking, thank God we've got a pilot that isn't going to trifle with these sons of bitches. I can tell you something, Phil. This couple that I was flying a couple of weeks back, they were with their 12-year-old son. And I didn't like the look of this kid. And I knew that the kid might possibly try something.
And it, what didn't you like?
He was one of these kids wearing the Hesher stuff. He had the camouflage pants. And he thought he was a badass. And I knew I didn't like the look of this kid. So I said to him very innocently, hey, have you ever seen the cockpit of an airplane? Would you like to see the instruments? As he crawled between the seats to come up front, I gave him a back fist to the face. Basically what that is, Phil, is you swing your right arm back. And I had one hand on the yoke, so I had control of the aircraft. One arm back, and you hit him full flush in the face with the back of your fist. Now, that is a martial arts move. And it,
Wait a minute. Had this kid threatened the well-being of the plane?
The kid was going to do something. I knew it. He was coming up between the seats in an aggressive manner.
Yeah, but you had invited the kid up. Had you ever seen a... What did you say to him?
I said, Phil, I knew the kid was going to try something.
But what did you say?
I knew this kid was going to try something, so I was trying to get him off guard. And I said, kid, have you ever seen the cockpit of an aircraft? And would you like to see it? And he said, yeah, sure, mister. He started climbing up between the seats, and that's when I just snapped my fist back. I gave him the full backside of my right fist, which I know had to loosen some teeth. The kid got bloodied, but he got the message. And that's what I'm talking
about. So you hit this kid with a backhand, even though he hadn't done anything.
No, Phil, you up in the air. Let me tell you something. International law states that a captain at sea and in the air is the final arbiter of all problems. What he says goes. He questioned my ability as a pilot to get the passengers safely home, and that you can't do.
Well, I do know that probably a lot of lives can be saved if we can keep these hijackers at bay somehow. I don't know that a pilot coming on and saying, you mess with me, I'm taking this right into a mountain.
Let me tell you something. That scares them until their lower colon is empty. And that's the truth.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, El Paso on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Where do you get your information from as far as what happens to a body when it hits the ground?
I was in the United States Army for 4 years.
Well, I don't think you witnessed too much too close, because a body does not vaporize.
Well, how many bodies have you seen hit the ground after a chute doesn't open?
Four.
Okay, I mean, I've seen a few myself, and I will tell you, at least in one case, I don't know, you're right that it doesn't always happen.
All right, so there are times when you find...
No, in one case, we found a pile of dust in this guy's pants. That's it.
It never happens. You're talking about making matter disappear.
No. Happen. I'm not talking about making matter disappear. I said,
now, what are you saying? You said you saw a guy's chute not open?
I didn't see it. But I saw, they said that a guy's chute had not opened. It was over one of the other landing sites. We went over there, and it was a chute, a pair of shoes, a helmet, and a pair of pants.
With a chute attached.
With a chute attached to it, right.
Well, you know, after an accident of any type, you can see jet aircraft go into the side of a mountain a heck of a lot faster than you see somebody hitting the ground.
You find any bodies?
From a skydive.
You find any bodies?
You find bodies, and that's even after flight.
Well, let's ask this question. What shape are they in?
You find an ear. Bodies in an aircraft are not in a very good shape.
Well, you got it. You're not finding bodies. You're finding an ear, a finger. You don't know what goes with what, whose hand goes with, you know.
Yeah, but a body that comes out of a bad.
You're saying So Art, you're saying that the body that you saw was nothing, was turned into dust.
Right.
Now I have a question to ask.
What?
How do you know somebody wasn't screwing around with you?
Okay, what do you say? A practical joke?
Well, you said you didn't see the guy hit the ground. How do you know your buddies didn't attach a chute to a pair of pants?
Well, now you're questioning my intelligence. Okay.
I'm not questioning
I question your intelligence.
Why would you do something unfriendly like that? I haven't talked to you in a mean way.
Because you're the one that's out here talking like you're a big expert and everything, and you obviously don't know jack about it.
I don't know jack. I'm a pilot.
You might be a pilot,
but
I wouldn't fly with you.
You wouldn't fly? Why? Just because
I know how to skydive. If I had you as a pilot, I'd want to get out at some point.
Is that because I talk tough to hijackers? Is that it? No. Tell you something, my friend. You know, you do what you want to do. I don't let some guy take over my aircraft. I'll show him what for.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you very much.
I'm a 6-year-old kid.
Thank you very much for your call.
I don't like anybody laughing at me.
Well, he was laughing at the fact that you backhanded some 12-year-old that you felt was going to hijack your plane.
I thought there was a possibility, yes, sir. And, you know, you can laugh, Phil, or you can help people get out of a tough situation. I choose to help people get out of a tough situation. Some hijacker comes on my plane, I get on the PA, and I say, you know, we're dispensing with all of the nonsense about where we're going and all of this. If there's anybody on this aircraft that thinks they're going to hijack it, be advised that I will put this aircraft into a full nose spinning dive from which I will not pull it out.
All right, 1-800-449-8, and you think that'll work?
I guarantee it.
1-800-449-8686 is our number. Phil Henry Show.
Right,
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Art Griego, who flies a Cessna out of Santa Monica Airport, occasionally takes passengers along, has done some minor commercial flying. What would you recommend to a pilot who is threatened by a hijacker?
Phil, that to me is pretty simple. The first thing you need to do as a pilot is you got to fake the hijacker out. And what I would do is aim for a mountain or start flying toward the water. So in other words, what you're doing is you're following through on your threat. And you get on the PA, and you say, next time I do it for real.
And so in other words, if a hijacker starts to threaten the aircraft, like he has a gun to your head,
You turn the plane toward any mountain that's in the area, start flying right toward it. The guy will start screaming something in Spanish or Arabic or whatever the guy is. And then you fly it right for the mountain, and you watch him sweat. And on an Arab, the sweat shows up pretty good, on any of those brown-skinned people.
Well, you're making some assumptions here.
Well, you know what I'm saying. In other words, it's most likely going to be one of these towel guys. You're heading toward the mountain, or you're heading toward the ocean. When he starts to wet his pants, he drops the gun or whatever he's doing, you pull it out, and you say to him, next time I do it for real. And let me tell you something. That has put more towel monkeys back in their seat, very calmly watching the in-flight movie, than any single act of law enforcement I can think about.
We're talking to Art Griego, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Albany on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I would just like to say that I think it's disgusting that you lured a 12-year-old up to the cockpit of the airplane backhanded him.
I didn't lure him, ma'am.
You did. You asked him has he ever seen the cockpit of an airplane.
The kid was threatening the safety of the aircraft.
No, you assumed that he was, okay? And
well,
what about the
don't
other
don't we
people?
Take preemptive, shouldn't we take preemptive measures? These people in the Philippines aircraft would have been better off had that pilot taken some preemptive measures.
My point is that you did this to a 12-year-old child. I think that's really disgusting. My daughter was flabbergasted when she's sitting at the table.
So we
and
let
her
a 12-year-old. Let me remind you that it was kids that shot up that whole Columbine place.
I understand that.
Okay.
But we're talking about this. Okay. And another thing, while you're taking a nosedive towards the mountain trying to get off this hijacker, what about the passengers that are on the plane that have heart conditions and stuff? You're going to kill people by doing that.
Well, I'll tell you something. That is a consideration, but a lot of people are not that fragile. And a typical, what we call a downwing nose glide, or what we call a Vector 3, is not going to kill you. It is actually can be a lot of fun. It's like a roller coaster. But what you're doing is you're letting that hijacker know you're not fooling around.
Now, let me ask a question here. What if he doesn't drop the gun?
Oh, when these Arabs start to sweat, their hands get like oil. And it's very hard to...
No, wait. What do you mean these Arabs start to sweat, okay?
I'm telling you, Phil.
No, I'm saying, what if he doesn't drop the gun? What if he's still got it to your head?
Then the last thing you're going to hear in that black box is, Mom, I love you. That's
going to
be my voice.
You'll kill. You'll take everybody out.
I'll tell you what right now. No hijacker makes Art Griego look like an ass.
You're capable of...
You make yourself look like an ass.
I beg your pardon?
You make yourself look like an ass.
By saving people in an airplane that an Arab...
Your tactics are totally off base.
Look, you get one of these Muslims on board, lady, who's, he wants to go up to heaven or whatever the hell he wants to do. You tell me what you'd do. What I do is I aim it right for a mountain and I say, hey, Mr. Towel, see that mountain? See you? You want to be one with somebody, you're going to be one with that mountain. And
Jesus, you know, a lot of your comments are borderlining on racist. A lot of them are borderlining on sheer madness. You would threaten that...
So I am a pilot trying...
No, wait a minute. You would threaten the well-being...
Tell me what you're going to do when you got a guy that jockeys camels all day long, suddenly he's got a Ruger 9mm...
Now, hold on for a minute. You're threatening the well-being of people in an aircraft, but you're going to kill them? You're going to kill all these people? Because this guy's going to threaten you with a gun? So far, you're the only guy threatened with a gun. That's what I'm asking you.
Look, you do it your way, I'll do it mine, okay? You do it your way, I'll do it mine. I will not let a hijacker take my aircraft.
Here is Gainesville on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
This guy's a nutcase, quite frankly. I was in the aviation business for quite some time.
You fly for a living?
Parks manager. I'm not a pilot, but I know enough about airplanes
a
and
parks
aircraft.
Manager.
But,
I don't think that qualifies.
This guy, there's no doubt in my mind there's a reason why he's not a commercial pilot. That's because there isn't an airline in the country that would take
a
work.
You said you work for the parks department.
That's right. I'm not a pilot. I'm not claiming to be a pilot.
Well,
I can tell you this.
Well, what is it you are familiar with aircraft? How can you be familiar with aircraft?
I'm familiar with how they're put together and how they're flown. I've been an aviation enthusiast since I was a little kid.
Sir, I'm not talking about building model. I'm not talking about building model.
My point is this.
I'm not talking about building model airplanes, okay?
My point is this. There's no doubt in my mind there's a reason this gentleman is not a commercial airline pilot, because there's not an airline in the world that would put him to work after a psychiatric evaluation. Anybody that would make comments like that over a loudspeaker is a nut.
Wait a second.
Thanks.
You know, there's a lot of people dead today because pilots couldn't make the right decision when it came
exactly,
to hijackers,
right.
Okay?
Sure, exactly. You're going to get on a loudspeaker with 100-plus people on a commercial flight and threaten them to fly the airplane into a mountain? How long do you think you would last?
No. All I'm saying is if anybody on board has ideas about hijacking this aircraft, okay, that's what I'm saying.
It's an absurd statement, okay?
Why is that an absurd
statement? Quite frankly, an absolutely absurd statement.
I take my flying seriously.
Sure you do, and as well you should, but threatening the lives of people that may have zero intention of doing anything but sitting there and minding their own business is absurd.
Well,
thanks. I'm about to run out of the cell area here.
What would you do?
That's the only comment I'll take my answer or your comment on.
Well, international law says that I have the right to protect that aircraft in any way that I wish. And I will tell you, Phil, when I sit down, I'm not going to fool around on the microphone with, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome on, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to say, let's get one thing straight. I'm your pilot. Any one of you try to hijack this rig, and I will gladly, happily, with a smile on my face and a song on my lips, fly it right into a mountain.
With a smile on your face?
Yeah, a smile on my face.
And a song on your lips?
Yes.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And we have with us Art Griego, a private pilot, talking about the Filipino aircraft hijacking. This guy was like D.B. Cooper. He wanted to parachute out, right, Art?
Yeah, and I knew D.B. Cooper. And not to sound redundant, but this guy was no D.B. Cooper.
What were the comments you made at the beginning about a pilot, the best thing he can do is make eye contact with the passengers?
What I would do if I were a commercial pilot is I would stand there in the cockpit, and as the people got on the plane, I'd stare into the eyes of each one and send the very clear message, don't even think about fooling around. You know, you can send a lot of messages with your eyes. Just make eye contact with each one. Let them know you're serious. Let them know that you won't let anything happen to this aircraft. If they try to screw around, try to open up emergency exits, try to get into where the flight attendants pour the booze or make the food or bugging people about the service tray, bugging people about using the latrine, standing in line for the latrine when they're trying to do food service, anything like that, you're ready to take that craft and do some very interesting maneuvers with it.
Doing interesting maneuvers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the pilots will simulate turbulence to try to get people to sit down, things like that.
You know, I heard that. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
So they'll pretend like there's turbulence by moving the plane up and down just to get people to sit down?
Sure. And worse.
Like what worse?
I don't want to say, but I know a guy that pretended like the plane dropped 10,000 feet. I mean, he went into a full dive and then came up again, scared the crap out of these old ladies that wouldn't shut up at the back of the plane. I'll tell you, that shut them up. And they were able to get the food service going.
They were trying to get old ladies to what, to shut up?
To shut their mouths long enough to get the drink orders. And it worked. I'm not saying I'd do it, but I know of a guy who did it.
You don't happen to want to tell me the airline?
Oh, no. I can't do that, Phil. I'd have too many people looking for me.
Camarillo on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, sir.
I'm an airline pilot of 33 years, sir. I just landed. I'm coming in from Korea. I'm on my way home now on the freeway.
Are you using your... you've got a cell phone. It sounds it's distorting. Are you working it too close, perhaps?
Let me try disconnecting the mouthpiece and docking directly into the phone.
Okay. Although one of those mouthpiece things.
Do you hear me any better?
Yes,
now?
Sir. That's way better.
All right. I was going to say, sir, that 33 years experience, I'm type-rated as an airline captain in every Boeing made except the 777.
Really?
I flew in from Korea today.
What were you flying?
I was flying a 747-400 from Seoul, Korea, direct to Los Angeles. And
you've got to be bushed.
Well, I am a little bushed, but
yeah.
It's amazing. I have never called a talk show before, but this fellow has given pilots a bad name, my good.
Well, this guy, the guy that we have on right now, sir, is not a commercial pilot. You fly just a Cessna, right, Art?
Well, don't make it seem like it's chintzy or something.
Well,
I mean,
you know
I'm just as good as this guy.
Oh, certainly.
Well, wait
as a person, I'm sure you consider yourself equal to anyone. However, in every profession, lawyers, pilots, whatever it may be.
Now, I'm detecting sarcasm.
Just let the man finish.
I
want to hear what the man has to say. So you flew in. You're a commercial pilot, sir. You fly for a major airline, I take it?
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir. And what is your comment?
I am just so happy that airlines have effective psychological screening to keep people like this out of their circles.
Well, what did I do?
Because he is an accident waiting to happen.
Wait
with
a
that
second.
Kind of an attitude.
Wait a second. What did I say? I'm just talking about, what would you do if you had a hijacker with a gun right to your head?
I would do whatever that man asked me to do. I'll tell you that.
That's the way you're trained, right?
That's the way you train. Keep everybody alive that you can, including yourself, because without yourself on board, the rest of people don't have much of a chance.
You know what? I just think it's pussy. I think you're giving the guy the opportunity to waste everybody up front. I think you lose everybody in first class. That's the trade-off. But you can keep everyone in coach. And I think I don't put up with that crap.
Well, I'm sure
Wouldn't you rather die by your own hand? Or wouldn't you rather die? Don't you think people would rather die by the hand of the pilot than by the hand of a terrorist?
You have an excellent chance of not dying at all and resolving the thing without anyone dying.
Wait a second. What do you mean, don't you think most people would rather die by the hand of the pilot?
I know I would. I would rather, if this fine gentleman who's calling us would rather kill me than a terrorist, I'd rather have you kill me, sir. And I say that with respect.
What does that mean? I mean, the guy is going to do what he's going to do. He's the captain of the ship. He's going to have to save the lives of the people. Remember the guy, who's the guy that still landed?
Yeah, I love that. No alternative. Must land at Beirut. No alternative. You remember that guy?
I bet you got him in a lot of training films
and stuff.
I flew for Saudi Arabian Airlines for 4 years.
Oh, boy.
I made some good friends there before I went on. And one of my good friends had been hijacked since I left there twice. Lived through both situations. Everybody on board lived through.
Was it one of those Arabs?
As a matter of fact, I believe the first time it was a Lebanese.
Now, when
the
Lebanese, when they start to sweat, their skin gets oily. That's an opportunity for them to drop the gun, right?
Would you please stop that?
What?
Would you please stop it with the racial profiling, the Lebanese skin getting oily?
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying that's an opportunity to drop the gun.
All right.
Well, my final comment to you would be that if you consider yourself in the pilot profession, I wouldn't even want to be associated with you. I think your thinking is way off. You need to see a psychiatrist.
I think you need to consider flying your aircraft into a mountain.
Okay, there you go. There's the standoff. Thank you for your call.
You see, you can laugh if you want, Phil. I'm not kowtowing to terrorists. That guy wants to go ahead and let some Arab stick the butt of a gun up his rear end. That's his business. But
nobody's talking about that. But the man is saying that he was trained to save the lives of people. You want to fly your airplane into a mountain. Newport Beach on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
Yes.
This guy is all over the road. Help me with this. Does he just have a thing against Arabs?
I'm going to help you with it, okay?
Does this sound like,
all right, does this sound like I'm hanging up? There you go. Here's Giddings on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Giddings, hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, sir, hi.
You?
You're on the air. Hi.
I'm a commercial pilot, and I was also an anti-terrorism instructor. And the things that this guy is talking about doing are insane.
Well, wait a second. Everybody's calling me nuts. Has anybody tried it yet?
Have you tried to keep your passengers alive. I was a military pilot. My job was to kill people.
I'm not saying I want to kill passengers.
Your job is to save all your passengers' lives. When you're involved in a terrorist situation, your job is to save as many people as you can.
You're not one of those wannabes, are you?
No, I'm not a wannabe, bud.
Well, did you kill people in combat?
Yes, I did.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with this.
In Vietnam?
Listen to me. I'm 50 years old.
So you were 20 in 1970?
That's correct.
You were a pilot in 1970?
No, I was a helicopter door gunner and a sniper then.
Oh.
Yes, I've killed people. No problem, G.I.
Got a problem?
The deal is, your job is to save people's lives as a pilot of the aircraft. If that guy wanted to commit suicide, and you say you're going to go fly it into the mountain, well, great, he just accomplished his mission.
How many confirmed kills did you have?
Will you stop with this, okay?
No, the guy was a gunner.
Yes, I was.
How many confirmed?
That's not important right now.
Yeah,
I have a lot.
You didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, I did, buddy.
Go on, how
you
many
haven't
confirmed?
Killed anybody. You're the wannabe.
How many confirmed?
And you're a dangerous wiener.
I'm a wiener.
I don't believe you're even a pilot, to tell you the truth.
I fly a Cessna. Look at that kid trying to take
off. You fly a Cessna? How many hours have you got?
About a couple of hundred.
Oh, a couple of hundred? And you've got this guy on here as some kind of an expert on aviation with a couple of hundred hours?
A couple of hundred hours? I thought you had thousands of hours.
I don't know. All I'm saying is what I would do.
This guy is not fit to carry the towel for the guy that was just on here a minute ago, the commercial pilot.
I would shoot.
That's flown all the various Boeing aircraft. This guy's not fit to carry his luggage out to the airplane.
If you had a hijacker, would you shoot him?
If I had a firearm?
Yeah.
If I had a farm and had an opportunity to, I would because I'm trained
to do that. No. Not if you had a farm. I'm asking you, would you shoot?
If he had a firearm.
Yeah, if I had a firearm.
Oh, I thought you said farm. All right. So I don't want to buy the farm. So you were in the NAM, huh?
Yeah, I was.
I bet you saw a lot of stuff. You got the 1,000-yard stare?
All right, that's all. That's all I can stand with this guy, okay? Thank you very much, though, sir, for your input this evening.
Yeah, I can't believe this guy's got 200 hours.
200 hours,
I'm sorry. Like an expert.
Well, the problem is I've got a producer.
I shot my foot to stay out of NAM, so
I bet you did shoot your foot. You probably shot your foot when you got on the radio.
No, I'm ashamed of it. But I did. I shot my own foot to stay out of the NAM.
Well, you're a coward on top of that.
Because you're a coward.
I'm a coward.
But you're talking all this stuff. You're going to kill everybody.
The college I went to.
You're going
to
beat up a 12-year-old.
When we went to college,
you shot yourself in the foot.
We had a foot shooting party one night at our college, and it was. I'm ashamed of it, but we did. But about six of us shot each other's feet.
And you're kicking butt on a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah, he can hammer a 12-year-old. I tell you what, if that was my kid, when we got on the ground, I would hammer his head into the pavement.
Your kids?
No, you moron.
Oh.
Jeez, what an idiot. Did any of these guys that shot their feet go to the NOM?
One guy did.
One guy?
Well, he missed.
Okay. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. We had a foot shooting party. Show Phil Hendry, P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E, for those of you wanting to hit our website, which is philhendryshow.com. And you might well imagine, or maybe I don't know where you thought, what side of the fence I was on during the Vietnam War. I'm old enough to have been eligible for the draft, and I was indeed a part of two draft lotteries for the Vietnam War. I was not a draft dodger. I was legitimately excused from that war because my lottery numbers were so high. I had, like, the first year lottery number 350. And basically what they did is they drew out birthdays, and September 1st came up 350th. And then the next year I was like 110, so I just didn't get called up. But I did know at least one guy who was actively evading the draft. And you probably have heard stories about draft dodging in the Vietnam War. And what was that? You know, maybe you heard that they all went to Canada. Well, a lot of people, a lot of guys stayed in the United States and then sort of moved around. And I don't know at what point you become an actual target for the federal agents, you know, like you're going to be arrested by the FBI. But at a certain point, this friend of mine passed over into the, you know, the federal part of it. So now he had the FBI after him. So he failed to report, and a warrant was issued for his arrest for draft evasion. I can't give you his name. Because I just don't want to. But I remember walking to a friend's house one day, and I saw this guy's car was parked by the side of my friend's house. And let's just say his name was Joe Smith. And he had so much dirt and filth built up on his Volkswagen that someone had written in the dirt on the back of the guy's Volkswagen. The guy who's, now keep in mind, he's wanted for draft evasion. And he is trying to evade the federal authorities, and so now he's staying at a friend of mine's house. And in the dirt on the back of the car, someone has written, "Hi, my name is Joe Smith, and I'm wanted by the FBI." Guy had been driving around for 4 days with it like that. I said, "Joe, I guess they don't want you, man. You've been driving around 4 days, and nobody's even attempted to contact you." He walks out. I says, "You ought to see what someone's written on the back of your car." And he takes a look, and he goes, "Oh, that's not very cool." And then he went back to sleep. So, you see, all's well that ends well, I guess, is the only thing. And I'd like to end this evening with Bugsy Maw of the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. And we're going to get on our plane now.
My baby don't have to work. Don't have to rob and steal. My baby don't have to work.
Bill.
Excuse me?
She has everything she needs. I am a driving wheel. I wrote my little letter. Don't want no one to break the seal. I wrote my little letter. Don't want no one.
Another black man.
Either out of Friday morning or late Saturday afternoon.
my baby. Please let me tell you about my baby.
My butt itches.
Please let me tell you about my baby. Time she walks like a leaf shaken on a tree. Oh, don't you know every time she walks?
I see ass.
Get your steak, potatoes, and beef. All right.
Shut up. I want to say something else.
Hey. Do you ever eat your own boogers?
Smart to me.
You are a loser. Excuse me?
Tell you about my baby, yeah.